Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And I appreciate you being here this morning. We have a nice group here, all things considered. This part here is a little slim here, isn't it? But thank you for sitting over here so it's not totally blank. I appreciate that. Isaiah chapter 9. This is an interesting little message here. It's a familiar Christmas passage. Of course, it's also prophecy because it's Old Testament. And there's some things I want to see in here. This is not really a Christmas message, but it is part of this passage here, and I think it'd be a blessing to us here. So let me read just a couple of verses. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." Now, if you go back to verse number 6 one more time, it says, "For unto us a child is born." That's Christmas. Okay? Then it says, "Unto us a son is given." That's his life and death and resurrection. That's Easter, if you will. And then he says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the second coming of Christ. This little passage kind of gives us a whole synopsis of what the Lord's going to do. The whole picture. It has to do with Christmas. If you don't have Christmas, you don't have Easter. Okay? And if you don't have Easter, be honest with you, he can come back, but won't be anybody to come back for. And so it needs to be salvation. And so there's some interesting things in here, and I want to see, but I'm really going to spend most of the time on one particular issue, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We might get out of here early. I know I always say that, but we might. We might. So let's pray, and I'm going to talk about the Son, the Savior, the Sovereign. The Son, the Savior, and the Sovereign. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to get into your word here this morning, and pray that you'll give us exactly what we need. Use us for your honor and your glory. Ask for your Holy Spirit to move and give each of us exactly what we need. Some maybe need to know the Savior this morning. Some may need that. Some of them do not know what Christmas is all about. Some of us may need to reestablish the Savior as our Sovereign. Maybe some folks have never established the Savior as their Sovereign. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to see these things here this morning and be a blessing. They may get the full effect of having a relationship with Christ, the Messiah. So, God, we'll give you the praise for all that you're going to do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Long before the Savior came to this earth as Jesus, his three-part purpose had been planned. It's right here. Jesus reiterated this plan to his disciples when he was about to leave this earth. Jesus said, "Go ye all the world and preach the gospel." In other words, let him be born in you. This is the coming. We have the coming of Jesus. Then it says, tell everyone who he is. Secondly, then he said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And so we need to learn to live with him as our Savior, as our Lord, if you will. But then we got one more here. He says here, finally, teach the believers all things that the Lord hath taught them. Now, in our passage this morning, the Lord is teaching the same principles in a different way. But here he says, teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know what that means? That means for us to obey all the things the Lord hath commanded us. But what that means is we've got to make him Sovereign in our life. Oh, he's Sovereign already in the universe. In his mercy, he doesn't necessarily enforce his sovereignty on us, but he's sovereign. But there's going to come a day when we're not going to be able to have any choice, and we're going to realize we're going to face God as the sovereign no matter what. Now, this is going to go quick, I think. So here's our passage this morning. Number one, a child is born. A child is born. And I think it really basically gives us the idea that preach the gospel to every creature. God himself, clothed with human flesh, came. In fact, in Isaiah 7:14, just a couple of chapters back, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We sang about it. Go come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. God is with us. Now, he could be a friend with you, or he could be, you know, maybe your worst enemy, so to speak. God is with us. God himself clothed in humanity. In Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, that's almost exactly what it said in Isaiah 7:14. He says it again in Matthew 1:23. That's the purpose. In John 1, the Bible says God was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him not anything was made that was made. And in him was life, and life was the light of men. You go over to verse 14, it says that, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God is with us. Now think of all that Jesus laid aside for us to come to us. Think of all the glories of heaven, the adorations of the angels. There's no sin up there. There's no problems. It's heaven. They worshiped him. And he came down to earth of this stinking, filthy place. And in the fullness of time is when he came. If I was God, I figured out another way to be the fullness of time. I'd rather be here during the dispensations of running water and air conditioning and cars rather than running around on animals and all this kind of stuff. But you know, he came in the fullness of time when he came. That was the right time. And he came. He came anyway. A child was born to us. When we have children, we get the nursery all ready and we get it all looking good and smelling good and cleaning good and, you know, so forth and so on and all this stuff. You know, if you go into the maternity department of a hospital, everything's all sanitary and walk around with gloves and masks and da-da-da-da-da. And God, we didn't have any of that here. And so God brought him down in the midst of a stable where the animals are living and doing all that animals do. There might not have even been a door on the place. But she gave birth right there in that stable. By the way, a lot of people say he was born in a manger. He wasn't born in a manger. He was laid in a manger, just so you know. A manger, you know what a manger is? If you're a farmer, you know what a manger is. A manger is a feeding trough. A manger is this little thing where they put the feed in and the animals eat out of the feed trough. The stable, of course, is the main thing. And, of course, you know, we have all these little nice little wooden stables and so forth. It's a very good chance it was a cave, just so you know. But they had a lot of caves over there. We don't have a lot of caves, so we don't use caves. But a cave is actually more stable than a stable. And so they were probably there. But listen, just think what it came to. The child was born, and think of the birth. Think of all that God was willing to allow him to go through to come to this earth. Number two, the son is given. A son is given. That means we need to receive the gift of God before it's too late. A son was given. Now, he's given, but have you taken it? God gave his son. Now, we got to be willing to take his son. In Matthew 1, verse number 19, it says here, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so we have it in Isaiah, we have it in Matthew here. Ephesians 1:4 tells us the Lord, it was told that the Lord was going to come and die on the earth before the foundations of the world. This was all decided, all decided. Romans 8:3 says, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have the child was born, a son is given. He's given to bring us into life, and life more abundantly. But where I want to spend most of my time here this morning is number three, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That means he rules, he reigns, he's the sovereign. Surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and do whatever the King of Kings says to do. And why is it that we will trust Jesus as the Savior, but we have a difficult time trusting him as our sovereign? The same Lord that saved us can keep us and care for us. The same Lord that loved us so much to come to this earth to die for us is not going to give us bad advice. He's not going to tell us to do something we shouldn't do. Though it may seem kind of odd to us, maybe it seems a little far-fetched, maybe it seems like it's going to have to, there's no way it could work, but if the Lord said to do it, then we should do it. He's the sovereign. He's the sovereign. In Revelation 13:8, let me read that for you real quick, just one verse here. Revelation 13:8. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. See, it was already settled that he was going to die for us. But if you're not willing to accept that, he says there's going to be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You better get used to it now, because you're going to do it because you love him, or you're going to do it under duress. You're going to do it because you have to. And at that point, it's not going to be fun. He's the sovereign. When it comes to being the sovereign, his character shall be, here it is in our passage, he says he's going to be the sovereign, the one who controls everything. Is he going to have some characteristics? Number one, he's going to be wonderful. Now, you know what? He's not a tyrant. He's not a self-serving sovereign. He doesn't see us as pawns to be used to get what he wants. He's the sovereign, but he's wonderful. He's amazing. He's both God and man. He's a worker of miracles. He's forever merciful. He's loving without fail. I mean, really, what is man that God is mindful of him? I mean, if you want to experience the wonderful sovereign in your life, though, this is key, watch me now. He's sovereign and he's wonderful. But if you want to experience the wonderful sovereign in your life, you must humbly surrender to the Lord as the sovereign of your life. If you want him to be the sovereign and you want to enjoy the wonderful part of it, then you need to surrender to him as the sovereign. But if you're fighting against him, you are not going to enjoy your trip. Mom and dad are kind of the sovereign in the household. But you fight mom and dad, you're not going to be happy. We used to tell the kids, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll get to do what you want to do. Really. And so you know, you got a sovereign. We have sovereigns in our lives. But this is a wonderful sovereign. One way to see if you have made Jesus the sovereign of your life is by how we live our life. For instance, Christmas here. You're here. No, really, I'm serious. You're here. Now, there may be other folks at our church or someplace else because they're with family another church service someplace, already been here this morning or whatever. We had a nice crowd in early service. They were here already. But let me just say it this way. What takes precedence in your life? What takes precedence in your life? Secular activities or Christian and godly activities? What takes precedence in your life? Who are you listening to? Who makes the rules in your life? Who really guides you? And that's our second. Number one, he's wonderful. Number two, he's the counselor. He's our guide, our advisor, our consultant, the one who resolves problems. And he has the answers to all our problems. Have you ever allowed the sovereign to be your counselor? You know, we talk about, oh, the Lord is sovereign. He's sovereign. And that usually means he's going to take care of all those people I don't like. Right? But he's sovereign. Have you ever made him sovereign in your life? Do you let him make the rules? Do you take his advice? Whose advice do you take? Do you go to the Word of God first when problems and confusion arises? Do you search the Scriptures for answers, or do you search the internet? You know what I'm saying? We don't go to the Lord first thing. When problems arise, who do you run to? A friend? The friends are good. But I hate to tell you, a friend will fail you. But there's one who sticks closer than a friend, closer than a brother. Is that who we run to? Who is our guide? I'm not sure what to do. Well, where are you checking in with? Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The paths of a good man shall be ordered by the Lord. You want him to guide your life. If he's the sovereign, then we'll do whatever we can to get him to help us make these decisions. In fact, allow him to make decisions, and we just follow along with what he said. He's the sovereign. Number three, he's the mighty God. This sovereign is the mighty God. There's no other sovereigns in all the universe, living or dead, or to come, who's the almighty God. Now, there is one who's going to claim to be the almighty God. That's going to be the Antichrist. But he's not. He's valiant. He's powerful. What God says he will do, he can do. We're not dealing with a limited source, but with the unlimited power of God. Do you fear, what? Do you fear to give your issues into the hands of the Lord? I think a lot of people, they say, I don't know. I mean, the Lord said this, but should I really do this? I can't see how that's going to work. I think it's going to cause more problems. I think in fact, it looks like I'm going backwards in my life if I do this. Who are you going to trust? Are you careful for nothing, but for prayer and supplication with thanksgiving? Do you give everything over to the Lord? I think we should. He's the promised sovereign. He's the Son. He's the Savior. Number four, he's the everlasting Father. The Bible says if mother and father forsake me, the Lord shall take me up. You know, when you're 15, 16, 17, a lot of times it starts to get real bad when you're 18. You can't wait to get out of the house and out from underneath mom and dad. And You just think, I'm going to start my life. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to have anybody telling me what to do, and I'll be just fine. And then you're in life for about a year and a half, and you realize what it costs to keep a car and pay the rent. And then baby comes along, and all of a sudden you're calling mom and dad, the baby's got a fever, and this is going to happen. What should we do? You know, and all this stuff. You want all of a sudden, you know, in fact, there's a time, sometimes it gets so bad, you just want to curl back up in the fetal position and crawl up in daddy's arms and say, Daddy, take care of me. Take care of me. You know, but you know what? You have a father. And we miss out on him. Listen, he's almighty. He's the counselor. He knows what needs to be done. And our Heavenly Father will not make a mistake. It says the eternal Father. You know what that means? A perpetual paternal influence in our life. This is a daddy that never gives up. Through Christ we cry, Abba, Father. He's the everlasting Father. You know what? He's everlasting. He's not obsolete. He's not obsolete. I've said often, you know, the older I get, the more the smarter my father gets. The more I realize he knew what he was talking about. God knows what he's talking about, folks. You say, well, I don't want to be under somebody telling me what to do all the time. How about somebody who knows what to do? And he's always right. He's the sovereign. The Almighty God. Number five, the Prince of Peace. This sovereign is the Prince of Peace. This is interesting here. The word prince simply means a ruler, a governor, a keeper. So let's put this in context. Jesus Christ is the keeper of peace. Now that doesn't mean he doesn't give peace. What it means is if you're going to get peace, you're going to get it from him because he's the one that has it. People think, I'll get out of the house, be on my own, I'll finally be at peace. I'm going to get married to that special gal, that special guy, and it's just going to be so great. It's just going to be so release. He's not the keeper of peace. If I just had a lot of money, I'd have peace. No. The Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He controls it. He's the one that can assure you that peace is going to happen. He has the authority to see to it that peace comes. He brings about peace. He secures the peace. He sustains the peace. Do you rest in the wisdom of this world? Do you go to the world looking for peace? You're looking for the answers. You feel like if I can just get all these things all figured out, I'll have the answers, and then I'll have peace. Do you rest in the accumulation of wealth? If I just get enough money, I'll be okay. I'll have peace. Do you rest in the strength of your friends? You look to them or your family to hold you up. You know what? They're not the author of peace either. I've heard people say something about a particular family member, and they'll say, "Oh, not that. That was he's my rock, or she's my rock, some family member, maybe the pastor. But they got some person that they're relying on as the rock in which they kind of settle in on. First of all, don't do that to another person. Don't put them in as your rock. You're lifting them up to something they cannot live up to. But don't be so foolish as seeing your... And some think, well, I'll just be my own rock. No. They're not your rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Some person is not your rock. The Prince of Peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. He used to be your rock. Now, so he is there. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Now, what's the scope of his sovereignty? What does he have the right or the realm? What is the limits of his realm? There is no limit. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everyone in the world will see that. Right now, he can be the sovereign of your life today if you'll let him. So that he's sovereign. Can he just take it? Well, he could. But that's not who he is. He offers. He offers a gift. Listen, he can do wonders in your life today. Let him be the sovereign of your marriage. This is how we run our marriage because this is how God said to run it. Let him be the sovereign of your marriage. Let him be the sovereign of your home and the way you raise your kids and your family. This is the way we do it. Well, I don't understand. I didn't ask you if you understood. I said, do you know what God is saying? Do you understand what he's saying? Well, I understand that. But I don't understand why. Don't ask why. It's yours to do or die. He's the sovereign. Let him be sovereign over your finances. You got him as Savior, but let him be sovereign over your finances. Let him dictate what you do with your finances. A lot of times it's like, you know, if the Lord was here, would he want me to do this with this money? This is going to sound, might sound weird to you. But I give the Lord praise for supplying the needs of our church like he does. I really do. We've been allowed to do things that I never really thought we'd be able to do. I've had preachers come in here and they'll say, this is your facility. Man, you just kind of have everything here. I mean, it's not extravagant, but you've got everything you need. We need, we need some more rooms for school and Sunday school. But anyway, he'll provide that when the time is right. I've had several preachers at different times independently say, you have such a balanced ministry. It seems like you have something here for everybody the best you can. And you've got facilities that kind of houses it. And it gets starting to get a little pinched, but he's provided for us. And I think it's because we have given him our finances. But one of the things I do when I'm thinking about the finances, I think about it this way. We've let the Lord be our sovereign. We haven't kind of slipped in a little bit of this and slipped a little bit of this in and kind of fudged on this and fudged on that, trying to help God provide. As soon as you start trying to help God provide, you have decided he's not your provision. Well, the Lord helps those who help themselves, the good book says. Actually, it doesn't say that. In fact, I believe the Lord comes to those, helps those who have come to the end of themselves. And we ought to be serving, doing what we're supposed to do. We don't sit around and wait. But if there's nothing you can do, well, then you wait. In the meantime, you serve the Lord. Now, this is what I say. I've made a lot of decisions. Like, you may not like this, but I've been doing this for 20 years almost now. If the funds are there and we're not taking away from some other needs, and we have a particular need, this is what I think. How would the Lord do it if he was here? Yeah. But you know what we think? Well, but he's not here. Yeah, he is. But we don't have all the money that the Lord has. No, but he has it, and he's my sovereign. He's my Father. He's the Almighty God. In other words, if the Lord would do it this way, I'm going to say, again, we're not going to gold plate everything here in the church. We're not going to have a gold plated altar and all this stuff going on. I'm not talking about that. I think it's just excess. But I believe in giving God something good and doing what it takes to do the job. And fact is, if I think the Lord would do it if he was here and money was not a problem for him, then maybe we should do it. Now, I don't want to take us out on a limb and put us in great debt or anything like that. But on the other hand, I think that the Lord leads us to do it. We ought to do it. And if it's practical and he's provided, we should go ahead and do what he would do if he was here. And we've done that. We've upgraded things quite a bit the last 20 years. Built buildings. And we did it because, you know, I remember when we got ready to build this building back here, I thought, you know, if we don't build this building now, if we're gonna sit around here for the next 15 years trying to gather up pennies, and this church is going to just stifle. It's just gonna come to a dead run here. And I really believe that was the truth. And the fact is, as soon as we built that building, several things went up. Our school, for one, more than doubled. Now we have inflows. Now we have twice as much as that of kids that we get influenced every day of the week. He's our sovereign. He can be your counselor. Is he? That tells me whether he's your sovereign or not. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He wants to be your provider and protector. He wants to be that shoulder you lean on. He wants to wrap his arms around you. But do you let him? We're missing out so much. Well, we don't want somebody telling us what to do. Well, fine. Do it yourself. But then you're going to get what you can get. You're not going to get what God can get. And he's the Prince of Peace. He controls the peace and wants to make sure you have the peace that passes all understanding. He brings it to our lives and peace. He brings life to our lives and peace to our souls. Now, we're coming in for a landing, but it's one of those where you think, we're quite going to touch down, but we're coming in for a landing here. In Philippians 2:5, it says, Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It'd be best to confess him now than to wait to confess him later. 1 Peter 1 says, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Do you seek God's counsel and wisdom in his word, or do you seek it from some other source? Do you place your life in the valiant hands of a mighty God, a mighty warrior, who try to fight your battles yourself? Do you rest in the arms of the everlasting Father, who will never leave you nor forsake you, who never slumbers or sleeps, who seeks only that which is for your good? Do you seek the assurance that can only come from the Prince of Peace, or are you racked by fear and torment, sorrow and depression, gloom and darkness? Jesus was born for us. Jesus died for us, and now he lives for us. There is one catch. Are you willing to admit you need a Savior for your sins and a sovereign to run your life? Or are you just going to continue on thinking you will eventually get it right and win this battle yourself? What's it going to take? More time? How much more time? Every time you think you have reached the peak of the hill, another hill rises in front of you. You say, well, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And you get over that peak and find out there's another whole mountain range ahead of you. Is it going to take more money? How much more money? The more you have, the more you want. Even folks who seem to have it all are just as lonely and unhappy, and even in financial troubles. And if you got a lot of money, then you got to figure out some place to keep it. That's safe. You're going to put it in the stock market right now? Man, you get whiplash all the same day. They don't have any idea what they're doing. It's not time. It's not money. By the way, the more money you have, the more people you have around you with their hand out. And I'll tell you this in practical experience, if I have trouble and I'm trusting in my money to keep me out of trouble and keep me safe, I find the Lord very quickly knows how to get rid of it. So I have no one to trust but him, which would have been, now I could have just trusted him in the first place and kept my money. You see, I'm serious. I believe with all my heart, when I went out to college, I had some monies all packed up, ready to go there to pay for the college bill and all this stuff and so forth and so on, and I had it all figured out how it was going to work, and I had this job lined up, and da-da-da-da-da, I had it all set. Got out there. First thing that happened was the job that I was promised wasn't there. It was half the wage and three times as far on a toll road. And then the car broke down. We just checked everything out. Everything was fine. So all the money we had saved up to be able to pay the school bill and da-da-da-da-da, and all I needed to do was put a little food on the table and get gas the car and we'll be fine. All that went out the window. I found out real soon there's a sovereign, though, that I can go to. And I said I need to stop trying to do this on my own and trust him. Work hard, but trust him to bring about the answers. If it's not time, if it's not money, how about what? It's more friends? Friends often fail us. Even if they don't fail us, friends can only do so much. They can comfort us, but they cannot fix our souls. They can soothe us, but they cannot bring a peace that passes understanding. Friends can give us money, but their resources are limited. Aren't you tired of trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? God created this world. Isn't it about time we let him run it? By the way, he is running it. The question is, are you going along with him or are you fighting against him? It's hard to kick against the pricks. That's what Jesus said to Paul, the apostle, when he was fighting against God instead of going along with him. You see, all those things in your life that just seem to be holding you back, bringing misery in your life, they that are bringing you down, Don't you realize that God is trying to get your attention? And as a loving Father, God keeps trying to get our attention because He wants to do that which is right for us. Are you ready to allow God to be the boss in your life, the sovereign? As long as you're making decisions based on what you want, and even if it goes against God's word, you're still doing your own thing. He is not your sovereign. You cannot claim Him as the wonderful counselor, Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You're not open to that. You're missing out. You wonder why you're so down. You wonder why you feel like you're carrying such a heavy burden. That's because you've kicked the sovereign out of your life by simply doing as you please. You're mad at somebody. You're upset with them. You've gotten bitter. And you're just living with that bitterness. And the fact is, if you guard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And I know there's some folks in here, I think, who knows that, and they're still hanging on to that little root of bitterness. They're still doing what they want. They're still kind of sly on their taxes, sly in business, lying to their wife, lying to their husband. You have not yet made God your sovereign, and you're not going to have the peace that you want without it. John 10:10 says, the Lord says, I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That sovereign gave his life for us to be our shepherd. What's the shepherd? He's the boss. A loving boss. A loving provider. But he's the boss. If you don't stay underneath the control of the shepherd, you're going to be out in the highways and the byways and in the briars and the bushes. You're not going to be enjoying life. You're going to miss out on life. We try to get out from underneath the sovereign so we can live a life. Well, the things that are in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is all sin. And the wage of sin is, you're not going toward life when you get out from underneath the sovereign. You're going toward death. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall I not give him with him, give also freely give us all things? God gave his son for us. His son left the glories of heaven to come to this world. He allowed his son to die for our sins. His life was freely given on purpose for the price of our wrongdoings. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, King of kings and Lord of lords, making intercession for us. Receive him as Savior if you haven't done so already, if you have surrendered to the Lord, or if you have surrendered to the Lord as the sovereign in your life. I've said this the other day. I heard a preacher years ago. He said everybody should have somebody in their life that has veto power. And what he meant was, you ought to have somebody in your life that, if you're doing getting ready to do something wrong, that this person can say, no, don't do it, and we have to listen to them. Veto power. Well, I don't want any man having veto power in my life. I don't need a man having veto. That man is just a sinner like me. But I do think we need somebody who has veto power in our life. And I think that one should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him sovereign. If you got something up your sleeve and you think maybe you should go do that, well, let's make sure that first of all trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways check in with headquarters, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The paths of a good man are ordered by the Lord. A good man is good as a man who's been letting the Lord be his sovereign. So you let him be your sovereign, and then you check in with the sovereign to find out whether it's the right thing for us to do. Don't check in with man. We check with our friends who will tell us what we want to hear. You know how it is. We'll pick and choose our advisors. So we know that which one's going to tell us what we want to hear when we want to hear it. Now you go to the sovereign who loves you enough to say no. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his word, we must give the Lord veto power in our lives, allow him to be our father and our guide. And the fact is, if he tells us this is the way we're supposed to go, if we commit our way unto him, he shall bring it to pass. So I can't do that. Yeah, that's all right, but it's where you need to go. And the Lord will take care of getting you there. Because he's the sovereign, he's the almighty God. I would dare say that most people in this room have made the Lord Jesus their Savior. Maybe not all of you, but I would dare say most of you have. Make sure you get that squared away today. But there's a second step to him. Would you make him your sovereign? That's a big step too. It's amazing how we'll trust the Lord for our salvation, but we won't trust him to get us through tomorrow. The Lord says, don't say those kind of words, then don't say those kind of words. The Lord says, don't go to the places like that, then don't go to places like that. The Lord says, this is what you do on Sunday, then that's what you do on Sunday. The Lord says, this is how you raise kids, and then that's how we raise kids. And the Lord says, grievous words stir up anger, then you can count on the fact that grievous words will stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath, and it does. But you got to be willing to live like that. And yet we'll yell and scream at each other and have fights over these things, trying to prove our point. And we just proved that God's not our sovereign. That's what we proved. You're fighting in the flesh, you proved that God's not your sovereign. When we're out here living in the world, and we're more worried about the secular things of our holiday than the Lord Jesus Christ, we've just proven that he's not our sovereign. And if he's not our sovereign, then he's not our Prince of Peace. He's not our everlasting Father. He's there, and he's there for that, but you're not enjoying the benefits of it. Because you decide you want to live out there all by yourself, out from underneath his authority. I encourage you. It's a big step. Make him your sovereign.